You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Jim Kniffel's three memoirs, Slackjaw, Quitting the Nairobi Trio, and Ruining It for Everybody, and his first novel, The Buzzing, all received rave reviews and blurbs from the likes of Thomas Pynchon. And now he's written a second novel, Noogie's Time to Shine, published by Virgin Books. I'm very pleased it has brought him back to the show today. Hello.
Well, I'm very pleased to be here. I always have a good time. Thanks for having me again.
Your first novel, The Buzzing, was about a journalist for a second-rate newspaper who works the kook beat and investigates conspiracy theories. And if I remember correctly, that was partly autobiographical because
it was completely autobiographical.
You wrote for the New York Press.
Yeah.
And that was kind of an act of revenge before they fired you?
Oh, no, I wouldn't call it an act of revenge so much. That will probably come later. It seems that actually nobody at the press recognized that I was actually writing about the press at that time. So,
That's because they were all looking at their own navels,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, exactly. So everything worked out just fine.
Well, this book is the story of Ned Noogie Krapchik, yeah, a would-be filmmaker who lives with his extremely unpleasant mother in Jersey City and works as an ATM restocker. He's in his mid-30s, overweight, rather obnoxious. How did you come up with this character?
I think there's a little bit of Noogie in all of us. There's certainly a lot of me in Noogie, and
thank God that's not the side that usually shows.
It was something that just came out as when I first. See, it's based on a true story. It was a little 250 word blurb I saw on I think page 4 of the Post one day about this guy who had robbed all of these ATMs he was supposed to be filling, taking $20 bill at a time until he had amassed $5 million worth. And
now he stocks those ATMs that we find in grocery stores and delis.
Those standalone, ATMs that you find in, grocery stores, bodegas, all over the city. And he just came up with this scheme one day where he realized that it would be possible to siphon out these bills without anybody noticing. And he did this for, they assume, at least 2 or 3 years, and in the end had collected $5 million worth, which he kept in laundry bags in his home. And when someone finally caught on, he grabbed the laundry bags, grabbed his cats, jumped in his van, and hit the road.
And that inspired this book. Although I'm sure, yeah, his name wasn't Noogie. Now Noogies were things that we did not want to get when I was in high school.
It's true, and that's actually the title. Noogie's Time to Shine, and hence the nickname Noogie, was something that my girlfriend provided in a completely different context. She had written me one day with the news that the word Noogie had finally been added to the Oxford English Dictionary, and she said it's Noogie's Time to Shine, and I was starting to put the book together at the time, and it just seemed to make perfect sense. And when you have the name Noogie, the character just follows. He sort of developed out of that.
What happened to the real guy?
Real guy?
He must have been caught. Otherwise, the Post wouldn't have been talking about it.
Well, the thing is, he was found dead on a couch of alcohol poisoning on Christmas Day 2001.
Really?
And that's how the story broke. Up until that point, nobody knew where he was. He had vanished for about 2 weeks. Nobody knows where he went or what he did in that time. All they know is that he was on the road and he somehow ended up in Florida, where he was found dead. And then the story after that just got stranger.
Well, so, and yours is about, I mean, your Noogie is a graduate of the NYU Film School.
Yep.
But he's never worked in the film industry.
Right.
And is that the reason that Edward G. Robinson's picture is on the cover of the book?
Yeah, because Nogi is a character who is much obsessed by film, whose whole sort of worldview has been created by films mostly of the 30s and 40s. And even in his crime and hitting the road, he's sort of turning his life into a heist picture. And, you know, for the first time, he is glad to be alive. Doesn't last, but for a while there, he had his dream.
He's a fan of old noir films like Edgar G. Ulmer's Detour. But anything with Steve McQueen.
He loves Steve McQueen.
Are these your favorites?
Not necessarily, though I do love Edward G. Robinson. But again, they just seem to make sense as far as you know, who someone who would was trying to turn his film into a heist picture or an action picture, you know, who would he love? And the obvious choice was Steve McQueen.
Well, whenever he stops at a motel or a diner, he gives a false name.
Right.
And mostly names of characters played by Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
Tom Crown, Steve Andrews from The Blob, Mike Delaney from Le Mans, George Fowler from the Great St. Louis Bank Robbery.
Wonderful, wonderful movie.
Henry Charrier from Papillon.
Uh-huh.
Were giving film buffs a certain treasure hunt here as well.
Yeah, sure. And actually the same was true in The Buzzing as well, except in the Buzzing was packed with names lifted from people who are associated with Godzilla films. I haven't done my romantic comedy novel yet, but maybe that'll happen one of these days, but I doubt it.
Jim Kniffel is here. His latest book is a novel called Noogie's Time to Shine, published in paperback by Virgin Books. At one point, he picks up a hitchhiker named Velda. That's from Kiss Me Deadly. So Mickey Spillane is another favorite?
I do love the Mickey Spillane. And I think Kiss Me Deadly is a remarkable film.
Well, that was Ralph Meeker, was it?
Yeah. Yeah. One of his, perhaps his only fine role. excuse me. I know that film was a particularly big influence on Martin Scorsese as well when he was a young man. But yeah, the book is filled with mostly they're little jokes for me.
Yeah, well, you have, for example, you have a detective named Arbogast, and that's from Psycho.
Right. I'm glad someone caught that. Of course, when you have a character, the main character who, not to give anything away, but a main character who dies halfway through the book, it just made sense to have an investigating officer named Arbogast from Psycho, given that there was such a to-do when Psycho came out and Janet Leigh dies 20 minutes into
the film. Yeah, we think it's about her.
Right.
First part of the book is from Noogie's point of view, and then you focus the narration to the cops of the FBI agents investigating the case because of the death, or just because you thought that would be an interesting way to deal with it?
Well, two things actually. As when I first wrote Noogie, which was back in 2002, the entire book was written from his point of view. But the more I looked into the actual crime, I interviewed FBI agents, I got a hold of coroner's reports, police reports. The more I looked into it, the stranger and the more twisted the actual case was. In fact, when my agent was first trying to sell Noogie back in 2002, publishers rejected it, saying that the crime itself was too implausible, that it could never, that it was too unbelievable. They couldn't.
Even though you had a news story to prove that it wasn't.
Yeah, that didn't matter. So they, you know, decided to rewrite it as a true crime novel. And because the, you know, after Noogie is found dead, that's when the story really starts. You know, all these different characters and all these different twists that actually happened in real life are as bizarre as anything that that I could have made up.
And you give us a lot of information about the ATM machines as well.
I actually did my research.
You had to research it.
Yeah.
Your memoirs dealt with the fact that you suffer from retinitis pigmentosa, which
right.
causes blindness. Has
yep.
it affected the way you write and do research?
Well, on the one hand, when I can still function a little bit on the computer, I can still read on a computer screen if things are large enough.
So you just set it up to the largest type
right.
font possible.
Right. And I also had a lot of library help. My girlfriend again went to the Brooklyn Public Library and did a lot of newspaper research around the time of that Noogie was found and the story was starting to break. Never broke real big any place, but that made the story even more interesting to me. But apart from that, as far as the writing goes, I mean, I type. One thing I have noticed is that I am more focused on dialogue now than I am on, say, the visual description, which I suppose I should try to work on a little bit.
Well, you still remember the way things looked.
Sure, sure. We'll see. It's a tricky business. I'm not because I hear the world more than I see the world now, and so things come out more orally.
Are you going to continue writing memoirs, or is there another novel in the works?
I sure hope I don't write another memoir.
Enough already.
Enough. I had three of them out before I was 40, and I think that's just asinine. I have another. I have a few since the paper canned me. I have written three books, two novels, and I'm 2/3 of the way through another one. So hopefully those will be coming out at some point in the near future.
I hope you don't give people noogies.
Only when they deserve them.
Noogies.
A lot of people deserve them.
Noogie's Time to Shine is Jim Kniffel's latest book. It is published by Virgin. And I want to thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me on again, Mr. Lopate.